Thank you for listening to the Article Podcast from the UBS Art Advisory in the United States. My name is Matthew Newton, UBS Art Advisory Specialist. Delighted to have Fritz Dietl, founder and president of Dietl International, join us at the UBS U.S. headquarters on Avenue of the Americas in New York City. After moving to New York in 1988, Fritz started Dietl International Services, an international freight forwarder which now has 8 locations throughout the United States and more than 95 employees. Dietl is devoted entirely to the special needs and requirements of shipping artwork. Since 2015, Fritz Dietl has owned and operated Delaware Freeport, or DFP, one of the specialized art storage facilities in Delaware, providing high-security, museum-quality art storage. DFP is a designated foreign trade zone and offers U.S. customs and import facilitation. Fritz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So the audience for this conversation is the family office clients of UBS and their financial advisors. As many collectors end up needing storage for their collections eventually, a consistent question from our clients is about why collectors use Delaware as an art storage destination and what are the use cases for doing so. So I thought it would be best to go directly to the source, as you were the first to establish a presence there. And so I'm kind of thinking maybe that's the place where we can start. Hoping you can tell us kind of a brief history of art storage in Delaware, when and how it started, and your role in establishing it.
Well, Delaware is only 2 hours from New York City. So it's very, very close. And Delaware is one of only a few states in the United States that does not charge a sales or use tax. And so there were always some storage locations in Delaware that offered art storage, but it was mostly household moving companies that also happened to offer a little bit of art storage there. And every auction season, every major sales season in New York City, through my work with and at Dietl International, I just realized how much inventory we would send straight from the auction houses and straight from the galleries to Geneva and to Zurich, to the big fine art freeports that are established and long established in Switzerland. And for the longest time, I thought, well, you know, why ship something so far into the middle of Europe, especially when it's really rather difficult to get there, and, you know, when we have really the perfect location, you know, really on our doorstep, 2 hours from the biggest art market in the world. I mean, why ship something over there when we can keep it right here? And then, finally I got around and decided to jump into the deep end of the pool and open Delaware Freeport.
That's interesting. And that was in the early 90s when you set up there? No, sorry, that was in the mid-2010s.
It was in the mid-2010s,
right.
Exactly. So right. it took me a long time to finally to finally do it, but I finally established it. And very quickly, we realized, you know, there's a real need in the market for that. But right from the very get-go, I wanted it to be not just another warehouse or just a warehouse in Delaware that... but really a full bona fide free port with a foreign trade zone designation. So we applied for that from the very get-go. The state of Delaware was absolutely amazingly helpful because we needed to be sponsored by the state of Delaware for the free trade zone designation. And right at the beginning of us opening up the warehouse, we became a foreign trade zone warehouse.
Mm. I'm curious, during those, prior to setting that up, during those the auction seasons and sort of the gallery exhibitions that would happen in New York, what percentage of the art would you say that you were shipping was going before you were using Delaware? Approximately how much was going to Switzerland in that case?
You know, it was a small percentage of what was sold at the auctions and at the galleries, but it was a big enough number of shipments to really have an impact and really, establish for me that there is a need for this, and that I could fulfill this need in a much better, faster, safer, and cost-effective way than sending something across the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it that it was mostly American clients that were sending the work from here to there, or was it kind of an international group of clients?
It's always been an international group of clients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that traffic hasn't stopped. I mean, there is still a lot of work that goes to Switzerland, especially international collectors may have, if they're European-based, they may have a good reason to keep their inventory in Switzerland rather than Delaware. But we also have a lot of international collectors and investors who now prefer to keep their inventory in Delaware.
Mm-hmm. So that, thinking of the international topic, that was another one I wanted to get into, because you have a uniquely international history, your career, personal career history, and the vantage point generally across your multiple decades now in the art shipping industry. And so I'm hoping you could explain a little bit about to listeners, what is a foreign trade zone in the U.S.? And also curious about, the difference between a so-called free port in the United States and one in another jurisdiction such as Switzerland.
Sure. So foreign trade zones were really established for mostly for manufacturing, for large industrial companies who would bring in raw materials, create a product, and then re-export the finished product back out of the country. And in order to not pay import duties or taxes on anything they were bringing in order to make their products, foreign trade zones were created, really also in a way to keep manufacturing jobs in country rather than sending them out of the country. Mm-hmm. And, at some point, Switzerland especially Geneva was a very big trading, an important trading crossing point in Europe from France to Italy and, also to Germany. And so in Switzerland, very early on, the free port became part of an important part of international trade, of being able to, bring in goods, hold them without having to pay taxes, re-export them, and benefit from the fact that you wouldn't be taxed on something that's just, in transit, really. Mm-hmm. And so free trade zones have been established, have been in use in the United States for a very long time. I mean, one very important one is right in the Diamond District here in New York City. Mm-hmm. A lot of diamonds are coming into New York. They're being processed, they're being cut, they're being polished, they're being made into jewelry, and then, that is being re-exported, and then as long as all that work is done within that free trade zone, it's not being taxed. But obviously it's fantastic because it creates jobs and keeps the trade here in New York City rather than going to Rotterdam or going to other areas that have similar arrangements. So that's really the function, the reason for a trade zone. By Delaware? Now, Delaware has another advantage, another big advantage, and that's an advantage that Delaware shares, I think, with five other states in the United States. Delaware does not have a use tax or a sales tax. And with that, in a sense, Delaware becomes, the entire state of Delaware is a free port. To some degree, especially for products that are not, that don't have a customs duty on them. And fine art, to the largest degree, is duty-free. Not completely. There are now some specific cases where duties are applied to works of art. But the important thing is there is no sales or use tax. So if you are a collector who purchases a work of art that you don't necessarily are going to show in your home, but you are collecting it because you're collecting an artist in death and you want to work after the work, but you're not planning on using it in your house, or you're buying something as investment property, obviously you do not want to pay a sales tax on your investment property. You don't want to lose, if you live in New York, immediately almost 9% of the value of your investment by paying that to the taxman. So you want to take that work and bring it into a tax-free jurisdiction, which is Delaware.
So that's very fascinating, obviously, and I think a very important use case for Delaware. And I'd like to circle back to that. Before we get there, I'd love to go a little bit further into the foreign trade zone topic. I'm very curious to know, and you mentioned a little bit about gaining that distinction specifically for the Delaware Freeport, which is, you know, the company that you operate. I'm curious a little bit to learn about how you keep that designation also. You know, are there certain kind of protocols that you go through for that?
Well, yes, it's, you know, first of all, you need to be sponsored by the state of Delaware, and then you apply with U.S. Customs to be a designated foreign trade zone warehouses. And then anything that falls inside, you know, the customs part of the foreign trade zone warehouse needs to be reported to U.S. Customs, and you just have to, you know, fulfill your regular, your monthly and annual reporting with U.S. Customs, and obviously U.S. Customs has the right to come and inspect what is within the foreign trade zone. So.
And I'm curious to hear more, too, about the distinctions between some of the foreign destinations from artwork. And you've mentioned New York, you mentioned Geneva and Switzerland. You mentioned Delaware and Geneva. I'm curious to hear about some of the other kind of international destinations and what might distinguish those for collectors as they're considering where to ship to.
Yeah, certainly, because you can, Switzerland is not the only country that has, customs bonded or foreign trade zone warehouses, but they're very established really in many European countries. I mean, from the UK to Germany to France, in most European countries, you can hold property inside a customs bonded warehouse, which is very, very similar to a foreign trade zone warehouse, for a certain period of time, or in some warehouses for an indefinite period of time. In the foreign trade zone, you can hold it for an indefinite period of time, number one. And number two, you're actually allowed to manipulate or look at the work when inside the trade zone. So that may be the difference. Not every customs bonded warehouse allows for that. Most of them do. So it really depends on where you want to keep your collection and the reason for you keeping it inside the customs bonded or foreign trade zone warehouse. All of that really needs to be very carefully considered, and then you can make the right decision of where you want to keep your collection. It doesn't necessarily have to be a really designated foreign trade zone or foreign trade zone warehouse like we have in Delaware or the established foreign trade zone warehouses in Switzerland. It could be a bonded warehouse in the UK. It could be one in France. It could be one in Germany. There are foreign trade zones also in Singapore, in Shanghai, in there are bonded warehouses in Korea. So they're really all over the world. And you just need to make an informed decision on the reason of putting your property into a bonded or a foreign trade zone warehouse and what your plans are, how long you want to keep it there and what you want to do with it.
And in your experience, most of the time with collectors in terms of the jurisdiction that it's going to, that has more to do with those decisions, in terms of practical decisions of having it near a certain location that's close to you and it's practical for you and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the decision should go around, is it close to where I am? Do I want to look at it? What are the tax implications? What's the cost? Very important. I mean, you should always consider what's the cost of keeping my collection in storage rather than having it hanging on my wall at home. So all of these considerations go into making an informed decision, and I'm always very, very happy to help my clients through this process.
That's great. Thank you. So let's go back to a topic you got into a little bit, but I'd love to sort of open it up a little bit further. You know, many collectors have heard about sending art to Delaware, but they're curious why others do it. You've mentioned some of those advantages, but I'd love for you to kind of highlight that again. You know, what makes Delaware unique as a storage destination within the United States? So if we're thinking about primarily, you know, American clients maybe with homes here or international clients with homes here, you know, what are some of the tax advantage reasons that collectors use that as a destination?
Yeah, I mean, the advantage is really different for different types of clients. There are a lot of good reasons to send property and store property in Delaware. So they're unique to each client type. So let's start first of all, let's start with location. We're 2 hours from New York City, biggest art market in the world. So if you're collecting, not just to hold it and for in a generational collection where it maybe may not matter so much where it is, unless you want to bring works back into your home on a regular basis, then it should be close to your home. If you have other reasons to keep it, your collection, so it's location, 2 hours from New York City. If it's easy to get to, it's very inexpensive to ship something from here to from New York City to Delaware, and it's very easy to bring it back to market. You know, your experts are happy to come to Delaware and look at the work. Your registrars can easily get to Delaware and look at it. Conservators, you know, auction experts, anybody, you know, comes in and out of our warehouses on a regular basis because it's so close. It's very, very easy to get to. So that's one reason. Reason number two, we already talked a little bit about it. There is no sales or use tax. And so if you purchase, you know, a work of art and, you know, you purchase it as investment property, the last thing you want to do is you want to pay a sales tax or use tax or a VAT, depending on where you are. You know, most places have some sort of tax when you bring property into the state. And if it's investment property, the last thing you want to do is lose value by paying a tax on the value of your investment.
And is it correct that when the work leaves the warehouse or leaves Delaware, then, so let's say it goes to another state that does have use tax, then the use tax would be sort of owed in that sense. So it's really a matter of a kind of a timing.
It's a timing issue, absolutely. Most states, it doesn't matter how long you keep it in Delaware, but it also differs from state to state. I mean, that is really where, you know, you need to talk with a tax expert to advise you on that. In many states, once you bring it into the state, depending, it doesn't matter how long you kept it out of the state, you end up owing a use tax. Now, the use tax, even that can be an advantage. If I buy something in Miami in December and I want to bring it into my home in New York, I can just park it in Delaware for a month, and instead of paying the use tax that I owe on that purchase, you know, in April following the December when I purchased the work, I'm going to pay that use tax a year later, following year in April, because the use tax is something that you generally pay and declare with your annual taxes. And so, you know, there are a lot of different reasons why it actually makes sense to use Delaware for that purpose. So that's the use tax is a second reason. The third reason, which is another good reason, is Delaware is only 2 hours away from New York, but it's also a lot less expensive than New York. You know, and that's just because of the cost basis of owning and operating a fine art warehouse in Delaware is a lot less than in a very hot and overheated New York City real estate market. And therefore, storage rates in Delaware are a lot less than in New York City.
How often do you, or I should say, for how long do you see collectors keeping their art in Delaware, you know, when it comes to the warehouse? I mean, is it typically for a number of months? Is it typically for a number of years or indefinitely? I'm curious what you've seen there.
Well, I can't really talk about indefinitely yet since I established the Delaware Freeport only
<Right. Sure. laughs>
about eight years ago. Right. Look, it really depends on the collector, on the client. I mean, our clients range from private collectors to really art funds, investment type clients, to galleries and museums and. So we have a lot of traffic in and out. I don't keep track of how long something actually stays in our warehouse. A lot of our collectors would like a lot of our clients would like to move their property a lot faster and a lot more than it is moving, I would think. There is a lot of beautiful, amazing art in the world, and generally there's not enough wall space. Mm-hmm. So,
and do you see artworks transact while they're still at the warehouse, sort of at the Delaware Freeport? Is that sort of a common thing that you see happen maybe among the art funds, or more of the kind of the investment type of art collecting?
It's not that common. I mean, it does happen every once in a while, but it is not something that we are dealing with every single day. Mm-hmm.
So you got into this topic of the different client types, that make use of the warehouse, and I'm curious to hear a little bit more about that. What are some of the patterns that you see, the differences between how a collector uses it versus how a quote unquote art investor might use it? Versus maybe an institution or a business. I imagine that's a portion of your clientele as well.
Starting with institutional clients, large galleries, for example. I mean, it's a cost question. So obviously, gallery inventory is not affected by a sales or use tax. So that's not a reason to, except with the exception that even on our service and storage charges, you don't pay a sales or use tax. So right there, I mean, the lower cost basis becomes an even lower cost basis because you don't pay a tax on the services either. So, for galleries, the reason to store something, 2 hours away from New York is the fact that it's just less expensive and, money talks. Especially when you're running a gallery, you have to be cost conscious and most of our gallery clients have storage here in New York. It's very, very in various warehouses in New York, and that's where inventory that moves a lot more stays nearby, and then they keep other inventory that they are not touching as much with us in Delaware. We do run bi-weekly shuttle trucks between New York and Delaware, and at a very low cost basis. That basically the same. It'll cost you the same to move something from a gallery to our warehouses in Delaware as it would cost you to move it from the gallery to a warehouse in Brooklyn. Yeah. So we are basically charging local delivery and pickup costs for our shuttle, for our scheduled shuttles to and from Delaware. But so for the institutional clients, cost is the main reason. Service is another important factor. And, I pride myself in providing a very good hands-on service, and that's I think that's really one of the most important parts why we are very successful where we are.
Well, I wanted to change topics for a bit, and for those of us who have been in the art world for years now, like yourself, like myself, there's this kind of idea that the art shippers have all the secrets, in the art world. And while we have you, I'd love to hear any insights you can share about what you're seeing broadly in the art world and the art market. Are there any specific trends that you've noticed or things that are happening differently today than they did, a few years ago or several years ago?
Well, the secret about secrets is that they're secret.
Right? Even so, for a podcast.
And being in the position that I am in, it's running Dietl International, which is one of the biggest art logistics companies in the United States, or maybe the biggest, and operating and owning Delaware Freeport, you know, I certainly have a really good insight into the market. And, you know, we see trends sometimes a lot earlier than most people, and realize, okay, you know, there are either clouds on the horizon or the sun is coming out again. You know, I never really tried to analyze it with hard data to the point where I can actually really just look at it on the screen and see that, because it's not my business. My business is to service my clients to the best of my abilities and just provide that service. And what, you know, their business is their business, my business is my business. And we have seen, even in my industry, we have seen what happens when you forget that, and you all of a sudden you think you can do what your clients can do. And, you know, I will never make that mistake. But yes, you know, I could tell pretty early last year that the market was not the same as in 22, you know, and I talked about that already, you know, by late spring, early summer. I knew, you know, things are really cooling down, and I could tell. And, you know, a lot of times it's really just a gut feeling, but then it's supported by it is supported by numbers. Because then I see the volume of shipments are going down. The you know, the volume of shipments after art fairs. You know, when we see, hey, you know, at the last Art Basel Miami fair, we had at the end of 22, we had, I don't know, 1,000 shipments going out from various galleries to clients, and this time around the number was much smaller. You know, it's not a perfect indicator, but it is an indicator. And so it is telling. And so, yes, I think we have a good insight, and we know what is happening in the market. And I'm very happy to report that, you know, despite my fear that the slump that we were in the second half of 23, that the slump would continue in 24, I'm happy to say that early 24, actually, it looks up. Things, you know, confidence is back. People seem to be trading a lot more, and there is a little bit more spring in the step of the market right now. So
that's really great. We appreciate that that weather forecast, so to speak, even though if most secrets are going to stay inside of the vault, which is completely understood, in fact. And actually appreciated, obviously, among both myself and our clients. So we thank you for that. And, you know, Fritz, I'd like to thank you very much for making time today to come and speak to us. It's been really, really interesting getting to hear some of your unique perspectives, having seen the growth of the art storage industry here in the United States and globally over the last few decades. So thank you very much for sharing your time for that. And we really appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much for allowing me to be here and letting me join you on this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.